With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes and welcome to Marston Road, the home of Stafford Rangers. I'm here on Tuesday night for the big league encounter between Stafford Rangers and Marine. Coming up, we'll be hearing from both clubs, as well as having a full fixture preview for this weekend, including those big FA Cup ties, of course. But before all of that, it's now time to hand over to Cockers for a run-through of all of Saturday's results.
Thanks, Ben. And league leaders Buxton passed a major test on Saturday when they beat Whitby Town 3-0 in front of over 600 spectators at Silverlands. Rushall Olympic moved above the Seasiders into second after also coming through a tough test themselves at Dales Lane against neighbours Hensford Town, 2-1 in front of over 800 fans. Early season leaders Blyth Spartans ended a run of five matches without a win by beating Michelover Sports 3-0 at Croft Park in front of a gate of just over 500, while Warrington Town's top five challenge stalled in emphatic fashion at struggling Skelmersdale United, who won 4-0 at Stormy Corner. Sutton Coalfield Town also recorded just their second three-point haul of the season to date at Coles Lane against fellow strugglers Frickley Athletic. And Ilkeston FC were another to record a second win of the season at a now joint bottom Corby Town. 534 supporters at Steel Park watching that one. Grantham Town recorded their first Saturday home win of the season at the Mears against third bottom Stafford Rangers. Matlock Town came back from their long trek to Workington AFC with all 3 points from a 3-1 Borough Park victory. Spennymoor beat Colville 1-0 while Marine drew 1-1 with Starbridge. Hales Owen Town led 2-0 at the Grove against Ashton United before being pulled back to draw 2 apiece. And Nantwich Town earned a point from their trip to Barwell. While on Monday night, Hensford Town defeated Corby by 3-0, and Sutton Coalfield Town beat Starbridge away from home by 1-0. Back over to you, Ben.
So some cracking results there. In about 15 minutes or so, we'll be having a full fixture preview for this weekend's matches. But just before that, just to focus on one of those Monday night results for a second or two, Hensford Town 3, Corby Town 0. Before that match, it was announced that Tommy Wright had left his management position at Corby to take up a role at National League North side Nuneaton Town. For more on this departure and where this leaves Corby Town, I caught up with John Dunham from the Northamptonshire Telegraph.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm all good, thank you. So, interesting times at Corby at the moment. Tommy Wright, departure. What's been the atmosphere at the club and what's brought all this about?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a terrible start. You know, they've won once in, I think, 13 league games. I think they got knocked out of the FA Cup at the first hurdle by a team from a lower level. So, yeah, it's been dreadful, really. And Tommy's paid the price for it. They kept him on at the end of last season, despite relegation from the Conference North. You know, he assembled a whole new squad, a young squad as well. The results just haven't come. After what happened last season and the way they went down, which was pretty decisive, you know, I think it kind of got to the stage. I mean, I spoke to Tommy on Saturday after the game against Ilkeston. I think he was pretty much, you know, thinking about making the decision for them, to be honest.
Yes.
You know, having slept on it on Saturday night, I think that's what prompted it. It sounded like it was very much a parting of ways rather than a brutal sacking, I think.
Now, the thing about Corby Town is, certainly in the first 10 games or so, it's changed in the recent weeks, but the defence was solid. It was always goal scoring that was the problem, and that's kind of... now goal scoring is still the problem, but the Corby are conceding now as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, I think they'd lost 5 games by 1-0 in the first, you know, 8 or 9, and that just, it was very fine matches, but you're right, they couldn't find a goal, and that was the problem. You know, last season in the Conference North, they leaked goals right, left and centre every single week. And I think Tommy focused a lot on, you know, making sure that didn't happen again, you know, at the lower level, and maybe he focused a bit too much on it, and it sacrificed the attacking element a little bit, and that's what cost them, because, you know, the number of games they got edged out 1-0 was unbelievable.
It was really.
You know, they had a great win against Blythe Spartans, but then, you know, they never really followed it up, and you know, all of a sudden you look at the league table and they're in a huge amount of trouble even at this stage.
Where do Corby go from here?
You know, they've got what 30 games ish, you know, just over 30 games to save their season somehow, and you know, at the moment, you know, it doesn't look like happening because they just can't win a game. So you know. Well, they've got Eddie Johnson, who is in charge on a caretaker basis. He was Tommy Wright's assistant. Tommy's already on record saying that he'd like to see Eddie get the job. But you know, the proof will be in results. In the meantime, I understand they've had a lot of applications already. What they've got to do is they've got to get a manager appointed as quickly as possible. They've got to give that manager the opportunity to maybe switch a few things around. And they've got to start getting results because, you know, even at this stage, you know, with four going down, it's already looking like it's going to be a massive achievement if someone can keep them up, to be honest.
It's a very competitive league, and down the bottom
it really
end,
is.
It really is, I mean,
it's the first time I've seen it, Ben, to be honest, you know, and I've seen, you know, I haven't seen all of Corby's games, but I've seen enough of them, and you know, it really is very, very, very competitive. You know, I watch quite a lot of Southern League football as well, and you know, I think there is a bit of a step up in terms of the Northern Premier League.
It's the crowd. I think it's the crowds more than anything as well, and the pies, we should say. Pies,
yeah, absolutely,
yeah, really,
yeah,
do
definitely
help.
Yeah, that does make a big difference. Yeah.
But just to say for Corby Town, and your views on Saturday's match, Micklover against Corby. Because Micklover were pretty much where Corby were this time last season. So, you know, look where Micklover are now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and I think you know, that's you know, it's so difficult for Corby at the minute because you know, they've picked up a couple of injuries as well, which doesn't help. You know, they're having the proper nightmare. But they've got to go there tomorrow and find a way. But as they've already found out, you know, even when they, you know, at the bottom, there's just no one's going to give you an edge. So it's a tricky one, and you know, but hopefully from our point of view down here, they can go and start this recovery.
And speaking of down there, John, how can people keep abreast of everything that's going on in the Northamptonshire football world, from Corby to Rushden Diamonds to Kettering? How where can people go?
www.northamptontelegraph.co.uk. And they can follow me on Twitter, which is John Dunham NT, at John Dunham NT. And we've got a Facebook page, and we obviously have the paper that's out every Thursday. So, you know, there's enough there, I think, to keep people interested, hopefully.
John Dunham there from the Northamptonshire Telegraph. You're listening to Evo Stick Extra, pre-recorded live on Tuesday night from Stafford Rangers, Marston Road. Marine are the visitors tonight. Earlier, I caught up with Vice Chairman David McMillan. Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, very well, thank you.
So, Marine have had a cracking start to the season. Is this the year now? Is this it?
Well, I've been saying that for probably about the last 25 years since, we won the league 20 years ago, but certainly expect us to do a lot better this season than we have done the last couple of years when, you know, we've been at the wrong end of the table. You know, budget-wise, we've got a better budget this year. We've brought some better players in. We'll see.
Sean Hess is certainly he's brought a lot of. Oh, I've just seen the first half of football there, very attractive, but also quite steely.
Yeah, well, that's one way to describe it. As there were a few robust tackles flying around, three bookings for our lads, all correct decisions in my view. And but we're not normally like that. We usually do try and play, but maybe just one of those games at the moment. As you mentioned, Sean brought 11 players in the summer. Obviously, some players moved on. That's part and parcel of non-league football, particularly at this level. Key players in key positions, particularly, you know, a partner for Mitchley, who's regularly top of the goal scoring charts. A bit of quality in the wide areas.
I saw Craig Linfield on substitutes bench from my FC United days. Mm. He's a cracking player, and if he's on the substitutes bench, I think that says a lot about the starting 11.
Yeah, Craig, obviously, we brought Craig. Craig was the first signing of the summer back in May, I think. But obviously, he's had some issues with he's had a knee injury and hasn't really been right so far. But you know, in some respects, it's something to look forward to. Obviously, once he does become fully fit, you're quite right. You know, he's a quality player.
Yes. What's your expectations then at the start of this season? What was it? Obviously, you wanted to improve on the last few seasons, but well, you're expecting to be borderline playoffs.
I don't see any reason why not. I think our home record the last few seasons. We won five home league games all season last season. We've won four already now. We're still unbeaten at home. And I think for any side to be there or thereabouts, you need a decent home record. It's a tight division. And I know it's an old cliche, but I don't think there are any easy games. You know, you probably look at tonight, most people probably look at the league table, you think...
Well, Stafford Rangers third from bottom is ridiculous, isn't it?
So. Won one game all season, you think 3 points away win. But, you know, for me, they've been the better side by quite some distance in the first half. But, you know, crucially, they're not leading. And really, you can argue that it's these sort of games where, you know, we haven't played well in the first half. We're probably fortunate still to be level. That, you know, if we can go on and go on to win the game, those are the sort of games that will get you in the playoffs. So in terms of expectations, yeah, I think we've got the squad to be certainly top eight and with a fair wind, maybe playoffs.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck. We've always said it, Mourinho, cracking club. Always had a nice warm welcome there whenever I've gone. So all the best for the rest of the season, and I'm sure we'll have you on in the new year, to be fair.
OK, thanks for your kind words.
So that's the view from Marine, but what about the home team? We're now joined by the manager at Stafford Rangers. It's Neil Kitching. Hello, Neil, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Good to see you in the flesh. This season so far, it's been one of those seasons, but I think you said after the Grantham match at the weekend, it's just a bit unlucky here or there, and just to get over the line, so to speak, for the three points.
Yeah, I mean, we the last couple of games, I think we've played reasonably well and perhaps deserved something last Saturday away at Grantham. But I'm wary of becoming, you know, this hard luck story, everybody tapping you on the back and saying it'll turn, it'll happen, it'll work out for you. I'm quite sure it will, but we need to make that happen. And performances have been okay, but as I've said the last few weeks, okay isn't going to win you things, and okay isn't going to get us, I wouldn't say the mess we're in, but it's not going to solve the problems we've been having. So we need to be better. I've seen signs on Saturday against Grantham that we are going to start picking up results, and hopefully that happens tonight.
What's been the main factors this season? Has it just been fish out of water kind of thing?
Not at all. I mean, the players we've brought in, you know, and those decisions I made over the summer, well, you know, were to make sure that we were strong enough, and the players we brought in, I stand by it, are step three, and some of them step two players. The problem being is we've made individual errors early doors, and at this moment in time, all these individual errors are costing us, and we seem to get punished for every slight error, whether that be defensively, middle of the park, wide area, up front. We make an error that costs us, and when the opposition are making those type of errors, we're not punishing them and picking up goals or points on the back of their errors. So, you know, at some point that will turn, because you know you can't go through a season, if you like, of those errors punishing you all the time. But like I just said to you a couple of minutes ago, you make your own luck, and you know as a team, you make sure that turns by limiting the amount of errors you make, and that's got to happen quick.
I can only blame ourselves, really, because on the MPL show season preview, everyone pretty much around the table went, keep an eye on Stafford Rangers. they tore up the Division 1 South pretty much for most of last season.
Yeah.
They've got one eye on one prize. It's a mammoth club. Is that the eye on the prize promotion or playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, the remit, if you like, doesn't change of what I want to do at the football club and where we want to take it, and we want to take it there as quick as we possibly can. But I think we've got to be realistic. To the start we've had, 12 games in, and we're sitting on 9 points. It's not enough. It's not enough points, and too many games gone, and we've had opportunities to put three on the board, and we haven't done it. I still think it's a false position we're in, and I think a couple of results will, you know, put us back into that mid-table mix, hopefully. And as I've said to my assistant today, you know, it is a little bit doom and gloom at the minute, because we haven't had the start we wanted. We're only just early into October. and there are 102 points to play for.
Absolutely, it is very early days. Yeah. Marine tonight, Marine are doing really well this season. What are you expecting?
Well, we've watched them a couple of times. I watched them first game of the season when our game at Ilkeston was off. Young, new side put together by their manager. Very hard working. Got a goal scorer, obviously, and Danny Midgley gets their goals for them and always has done it at this level. So it'll be tough, you know, and they've been doing okay. Their results have been okay. They're sitting just in above mid-table. And, you know, it's just like any game away from home or at home at this level. You've got to be prepared, you've got to be organised, and you've got to turn up on the day. Anybody can beat anybody. You've got to look at some of the results the last few weeks. Blythe being turned over 3-0 at home. Things like that. If you're not quite right on the night, you get rolled, and it's all about preparation and being organised. And the better you are at that, the more chance you've got of getting through.
It's a cracking league this season, and you're a busy man, so I won't keep you, Neil.
No worries.
But thanks for joining us on Evo Stick Extra, and all the best tonight, but
thank you.
Equal luck with Marine, obviously.
Thanks very much indeed. Cheers, mate.
Stafford Rangers manager Neil Kitching there, and before that, Marine vice chairman David McMillan. We should say David McMillan's interview happened after Neil Kitching's interview. That's confusing, I know, but this is one of the problems with having player managers. You see, they always insist in having a pre-match warm-up and then not being able to give interviews during matches. So thank you to David McMillan there, who gave us his thoughts at half-time in this fixture. But to find out what the final score was on Tuesday night between Marine and Stafford Rangers, and for all the other midweek results, it's now time to hand back over to Cockers. Cockers!
Thanks, Ben, and Tuesday night proved to be a good one for Hensford Town. The Pitmen beat bottom markers Corby Town 3-0 24 hours earlier and sat back and watched none of the other top five at the start of play manage a victory. Leaders Buxton were beaten 1-0 by Warrington Town. Second place Rushall Olympic were also beaten 1-0 on their travels at the Weaver Stadium against Nantwich Town. Whitby Town could only manage a point from their home game against Workington AFC, and Blyth Spartans were involved in a goalless draw at Causeway Lane against Matlock Town. Elsewhere, and at your game, Ben, it finished 3-0 to Stafford Rangers, with all three goals coming in the second half. Ilkeston FC recorded back-to-back wins for the first time this season to date to move to fourth bottom by beating Barwell, while Frickley Athletic's burst of good results under new boss Lee Morris came to an end with a 4-0 home defeat by Colville Town. Hales Owen beat Mickleover, while Ashton United beat Grantham Town at Hurst Cross. But result of the night goes to Spennymoor Town, who inflicted a 7-0 win against Skelmersdale United. Back over to you, Ben.
So, a big thank you there to Stafford Rangers. I had a lovely evening and a cracking finish to the game as well. 3-0 in the end, and I don't think anyone saw that coming at half-time. It was a very close encounter between Stafford Rangers and Marine, but three excellently well-taken goals there. Stafford Rangers TV on YouTube is the place to go to see those superb goals, but genuinely a big thank you to everyone at Marston Road for the superb hospitality on Tuesday evening. I had a lovely time, and just to say, someone got in touch, someone a bit cheeker, Neil Toof from Sutton Coldfield. Are your nosebleeds okay coming that far south? Neil, you're very cheeky. You're very cheeky. I did consider going a bit further south, but then I thought I'll wait. I'll wait till the weather picks up before,
Colby Town's not too bad.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, winter, I want pies. I want pies. I think I know there's some clubs in the Midlands who do serve pies. I'm not saying that for a second, but I daren't take the risk of going to a football ground and not having a pie in the middle of winter. I'd much rather go to a ground in the spring and find them just serving hot dogs or chips and curry or something, in which case I'll jump in with both feet. But until that time, I'm staying north of Crewe for now. Anyway, yeah, you just heard him there. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group joins me now. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good, thank you. So a big thank you as well to Cockers for providing us with the results from Tuesday evening. Coming up, we've got loads of interviews this week. We've got the chairman at Lincoln United and Stamford coming on. We're going to be hearing from Jason Ainsley at Spennymoor, as well as Phil Parkinson at Nantwich. We've got Richard Clark coming on from Stourbridge. It's all happening this week, folks. So we're going to be doing a bit of talking and a bit of interviews, then a bit more talking and a bit more interviews. That makes sense. James, what's your week been like? What's your main talking points been from the past 3 days' worth of fixtures on Saturday, Monday and Tuesday?
Well, the FA Trophy was quite interesting for the Division 1 sides. I'm going to point on that up quickly with Rushden and Diamonds, again, suffering themselves, see themselves in the south section of a draw once again for where they are, but taking Histon down in a replay. Other than that, Colwyn Bay winning a fourth time against Hyde in the space of a season. And Scarborough going out to Shaw Lane. I know it's the FA Trophy is a big competition where it is in NPL sides against each other. Yep. But my result of the weekend in that competition there, Witton Albion 5, Brighouse 2. Was obviously both teams going for well in both Division 1 North and Division 1 South there. But I don't think anyone saw a 5-2 result in that one whatsoever, especially the way Brighouse Town have been playing in Division 1 North as well. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Witton Albion going over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. And obviously, once all the FA Cup hysteria has died down, we'll focus on the FA Trophy, definitely. That's certainly going to be the case anyway, because my FC United, that's all we care about nowadays. And the Manchester Premier Cup, of course, until Chadderton knock us out in a couple of weeks' time. But anyway, I should also say, for those Hyde United fans listening, I only chuckled to myself because I imagined Berkey's face getting beat by Colwyn Bay for the fourth time. It's no hard feelings on Hyde. I love Hyde United, but I do love Berkey's faces as well that he pulls when certain stats get rolled out like that one there that James just pulled. Anyway, let's we just mentioned the FA Cup. And there's some big matches taking place this weekend. We're definitely going to get two sides through to the next round. That's a certainty. We're going to get two teams through to the first round proper. And let's focus on one of these all-NPL affairs now. Lincoln United against Spennymoor Town. Spennymoor won on Tuesday night by 7-0 away at Skelmersdale. A cracking result, that one there. And Jason Ainsley caught up with Spennymoor Town TV on YouTube after that result.
Jason, congratulations. A comprehensive victory tonight.
Yeah, I think we've caught them on a good night. Four or five of their players who played Saturday didn't travel for whatever reason. So it's important when you play a team that have got a bit of a depleted squad that you make it count, and we certainly did it tonight, Ray.
But that doesn't matter, though, because you can only beat what's in front of you, and you did that quite decisively tonight.
We did. I mean, we had a good spell in the first half where we went 2-0 up and we're cruising, and we sort of took our foot off the pedal. But second half, we really took them to the sword, you know, and it could have been a lot worse. You know, we had a couple of great chances in the end, but, you know, delighted with the performance, especially on the back of a tough game on Saturday away at Colville, which we took 3 points where it was a dogged display. It wasn't great, and it was important that we got back to, you know, showing a little bit of flair, and I thought we did that tonight. We played some great stuff on a great service and got the goals to boot as well. Great 3 points, you know, on the back of two tough games, 6 points in 3 days. You'd settle for that, but we've got a massive game on Saturday.
I was going to say, it's going to give you a great boost for Saturday, isn't it? Obviously, you would have been hoping to win tonight, but to win in such a comprehensive manner, it's going to send a signal or two to Lincoln United.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, we've been threatening that for a while. You know, we've won 1-0, 2-0. We've created enough chances to win 4 or 5. But tonight, it's the icing on the cake. To score 7 goals at home in front of our home supporters ready for Saturday is more than what was asked for before the game. So I can't fault anyone tonight. I thought they were excellent, you know, from start to finish. But we've got a real hard training session on Thursday, ready to prepare for Saturday, which is going to be a totally, totally different game than tonight.
And it's going to stoke up some real cup tie fever over the next couple of days, isn't it? There's how many supporters going down? 200 supporters plus?
Yeah, I think on the fourth bus, and there's obviously people travelling down in cars, so, you know, we don't want to disappoint them. It's a long way to travel to support Spennymoor. We've earned the right. Let's hope, you know, we get the right result Saturday, and it won't be for the want of trying.
So Jason Ainsley there from Spennymoor Town. Thank you to Spennymoor Town FC on YouTube for that clip there. Spending more time going into this game against Lincoln United, it's going to be very, very tough. Before we get on to this match between Lincoln United and Spending more Town, I caught up with the chairman, Ian Beaumont, of Lincoln United to hear his views about this all-NPL tie. So welcome to the chairman of Lincoln United now, Ian Beaumont. Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
I'm all good. So this weekend, nervous, excited?
Probably a bit of both, to be fair. probably more the backroom staff are probably a bit more nervous than what the players are. I don't think, talking to the players and the management staff and everything, I don't think, sort of at the minute, they fear anything. I was talking to the captain, Jaffa, like, and he turned around and he said, "If Barcelona walked through the door, I don't think we'd fear him." So, you know, we played a trophy game last night like a replay after Saturday. It was a really tight game. We had to go over to Romulus and play him. And sort of, I think it was about 87 minutes or 88 minutes, they scored, and we thought, oh, that's it, game over. And then we come back. We scored in about 92nd minute, and then we took him to extra time and beat them 3-1. So that just, you know, really shows the resilience of the side. Fantastic, really. You know, you just walk past the dressing room or go and see him training now, you know, like, and there's just so much enjoyment in it. Like, and I think that's what Sam's brought in. Like, obviously, like, it's his first year of doing it. He's bought a guy called Stuart Reddington back, who was played for Lincoln United before. Stuart's been about, and Chris Hall. And sort of between them, they have a very good basis for a good side from last year, because mm-hmm. obviously we got to the playoffs. But, you know, like, just what they've brought in, you can just feel it. You know, like, just the atmosphere is just, you know, it's just fantastic, really. And that runs all the way through the club, you know, to the backroom staff and sort of everything. You know, like, the backroom staff work so hard, you know, from the canteen to the volunteers and the committee members and everything. So it sort of tops it up for us, really, because it's like 5 years of total hard work. 5 years ago when we come down here, it was, you know, like, it was awful, really. You know, we're struggling to make a budget, struggling to stay in the league, and that's from Malcolm Cowling, like, our ex-chairman as well, who's actually pulled all the people in, sort of like myself and other businesses and committee members and board members and what have you, like, and we've just done it between us, and it's, you know, it's just been a fantastic journey, really, like, and I just hope on Saturday that we do ourselves proud, and I think we will. I think it'll be a really tough game, but, you know, I think we'll be in with a shout. We've got our feet totally on the floor with it, you know, and sort of Sam and Chris Hall and Stuart, like, after every game, they've got the, you know, the, you know, like, focus on this game, focus on that game, and that's all they're doing. So I really think we're in with a really good shout. And spending more won't fancy coming down to our place and playing on our pitch anyway, I don't think. So, you know, it sort of works in our favour. So, fingers crossed.
Well, that was going to be my question. I think we said last week when we talked about the draw that had been made. If it was at Spennymoor, then it might be a bit tricky. But having home advantage, being at Ashby Avenue, is there going to be a big crowd there? How much publicising have you made to Lincoln United supporters to get all and sundry for this one, to make a bit of a cordial atmosphere there?
We sort of do, like, as much as what we can. I mean, obviously, we're all working people, like, so we, you know, we try and do, like, as much as what we can to get it out there through social media and everything else. We're expecting a crowd of about, hopefully, about 500.
Brilliant.
They're bringing three coach loads down, I think, maybe four. So for our little club, we've got to accommodate the coaches and everything else. We're going to have parking assistance on. But Lincoln City are at home. They're playing their cup game as well to Guiseley. So obviously, like, we're the second club in the city, really. I would have thought a lot of people that have gone to Lincoln City would have come to Lincoln United if we could have moved the fixtures to either a Friday night or a Sunday. But unfortunately, we couldn't.
No disrespect to those two clubs, but Lincoln City against Geyser, that sounds like a right snooze fest. This one,
well, a lot of people are saying that. You know, I've spoken to one or two City fans who are actually coming down. So, you know, it's sort of pointless as going down. You know, that would rather come to you. So I think we will get, you know, like, a lot of support. I personally think, from our own support, I think we'll get sort of 250, like, of our own, 250, 300. I think they're bringing sort of 200. So, you know, we're expecting a crowd of 450, 500, I would have thought. That's what we're basing it on, with the stewards and the canteen. The girls in the canteen are all going mad because they're worried about all the pies.
Well, this is the nerves with the backroom staff that you were talking about earlier.
It's all the silly things, isn't it, what you don't see. You think, oh, you just walk through the gate and everything's there, but you don't realise.
We've said this numerous times. Pies are really important at a Northern Premier League game. Really, really important. Lincoln United, then, just a view of the club more widely. Last season was a brilliant, epic season.
It was.
Sam's come in now, and a bit of a sluggish start, but Sam said we need to improve the results. Those results have been improving now. You're starting to move up the league table. You're through to the fourth qualifying round. I think Lincoln United had been to the first round proper a couple of times in the mid-90s. The club's on the up. The club's on the up, isn't it?
It definitely is. It's 1991, I believe, or 92. Like, I think it was Alan Crombie, because Alan Crombie's vice chairman now. Like, and he actually played in that. But I think it's 25 years since we got through to the first round proper. So really good things are happening. You know, like, we've got some really, really good people down there. We've got local sponsors in. And there's nobody sort of in the club with any sort of with any money, you know, big money, I mean, you know, no millionaires there or anything saying, do this, do that. Like, we've all worked sort of as a board, a committee, for the last 5 years. Like, we've all worked together to bring these sponsors in. Like, I'm a businessman, like, and we've brought, you know, sort of local sponsors in. And it's been really sort of hard work, but now it's kind of paying off.
Is the club ready for that next step up as well to the Premier Division, perhaps? This season, well, you're knocking on the playoff
goal.
Door.
That's the ultimate goal. I think, like I said, like, I go back to 5 years ago when I first sat down with Malcolm. We sat down in a sort of meeting and what have you, like, and we're struggling to make a budget, you know, of, you know, £400-£500, you know, per week. And the ground was shabby, the fencing, like, everything, like, sort of the infrastructure of the ground was shabby. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot still that needs to be done. But I come in really through being in business myself. I'm a plumbing and heating engineer and sort of local football. And I was running some kids' side, like, and I was passionate about getting some kids' sides down there as well, getting the youth set up, but getting it set up properly. And now we've got sort of nine youth teams playing from down there, ranging from under-10s to under-18s. So, yeah, things are looking really good and really up.
Well, we can't wish you more luck than spending more town. We've got to be fair to both clubs. But just to plug this match, Ashby Avenue, Lincoln United against Spennymoor, 3 o'clock kickoff this Saturday in the fourth round qualifying. Is it pay on the gate as well?
Yeah, pay on the gate.
Pay on the gate. Head down there. Don't go to these National League grounds. There's no point. It's boring. Go to Lincoln United against Spennymoor. It's going to be a cracking atmosphere, and I'm sure Pies will be the winner.
We'll be stood on the gate, like, and we'll all welcome you in. Come in and see us. It'd be a fantastic afternoon. It really does. And if we win, it'll be even better. The bar will be buzzing after.
Well, Ian Beaumont, chairman at Lincoln United, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
Thank you very much.
So, James, Lincoln United against Spennymoor Town, your thoughts?
I agree with the Lincoln chairman there. It's going to be a very, very, very tough game. I know I've not heard the interview yet, but I can detect what he said there. Spennymoor are on fine form going forward at this moment in time. 7-0 against Skelmersdale. Again, Lincoln have done it against some of the other teams in this competition so far. They've beat hands with Paramore, who was a great win against them, but I think Spennymoor have got that little bit extra.
And they've got the chance of home advantage, and they're hoping for a big crowd there to G on Lincoln United, hopefully to victory for them. But Spennymoor Town, as they proved in the last round against Chorley, they're certainly a top-class outfit this season, for sure. That's one of the All-MPL affairs. The other one is Nantwich Town against Stourbridge. Ooh, I tell you what, James, this one is boom, banger, bang. I'm going to suggest a tie of the round, perhaps. On Tuesday night, let's deal with some of these interviews now. In a second, we're going to speak to Richard Clark from Stourbridge, a friend of the show, obviously. But on Tuesday night, there was a match which took place at the Weaver Stadium. It was Nantwich Town against Rushall Olympic, who was going into that game with a bit of form. They made the mistake of coming on the MPL show last week. Done, form out the window. Nantwich Town won by 1-0, and after the match, Phil Parkinson caught up with Johnny Crowther on Redshift Radio.
So I'm with manager Phil Parkinson. It's finished here at the Weaver Stadium. Nantwich Town 1, Rushall Olympic 0. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant victory against, you know, a high-flying team. Unbeaten in 5, Rushall. We're unbeaten now in 11. You must be absolutely delighted, Gaffer.
I am, yeah. I'm ecstatic. Couldn't be more proud of my players. Couldn't be more delighted with the way the fans got behind us today. I felt of late at the Dabba Dome we've been a little bit edgy, particularly the fans in the ground who maybe are new to the scene, that maybe don't understand the way we play, and I think it's starting to bed in now that we're not just going to punt it when we get a bit edgy, and we stuck to our guns and it paid off for us, and we showed that other side of our game that we've really developed this year, that resilience that probably people would have called us nice Nantwich at the time. I don't think people can call us that now. We've shown that we can rough it out. We won't face a much more physical, bigger team than them. Very similar to Darlington last year, I felt, with the way that the hustle and bustle and intensity that they played at, and the quality that they had in the team. Obviously, with Alex Reid, you've probably got one of the best, if not the best winger in the league at the moment. And Andy White showed his true quality today. He might not have been as much of a threat going forward, but he certainly snuffed Mr. Reid out today. So that was a fantastic little duel going on there. They were going on all over the park. It was a real good game. I said to the lads at half time, I said, it's a proper game today. It's not one where it's going to be all one-sided, which we have a lot of. They won't settle for that. They'll push on you. They will try and impose themselves physically. And we're not the biggest team, and I thought we really boxed clever today. I thought Curtis and Ben Harrison and Sam in there really were intelligent in the play. They weren't trying to win every ball, because they were not going to win every ball against someone who's 7 foot. But what they did, they let him flick it onto them, or they went tight if he tried to chest it. Yeah, they were really intelligent in the play. The cover was superb, the communication. The lads really showed true grit and determination there in the second half under immense pressure again. Because, again, we're one up. And I said to the boys on Saturday when we drew 1-1, we've got to start keeping them clean sheets, because there's not much in the games at the moment and we're not putting all of our chances away. But we will put one away, and we've got to be able to win 1-0. And it's fantastic to see that they can do that today. They've really put into practice what I've asked of them. I'm absolutely delighted with the result, delighted with the performance, and obviously it just makes it all the sweeter with it being 11 unbeaten, going into a huge, huge game Saturday with a load of confidence. It's a real good feeling, yeah. And that shows my intent of this game as well, the fact that I'm starting Josh Anko. I think people were questioning my rotations and things, because obviously they're thinking, has he got one eye on Saturday? And no intention of having any kind of one eye on another game, even though it's a huge game for the club. This, the league, is what we want to really do well in this season. Don't get me wrong, the FA Cup would be fantastic if we get to that first round proper, but already we've had a great FA Cup run. Anything we get on Saturday is a huge bonus for my players, the club, myself. But first and foremost, the league's the most important thing for me.
Yeah, and there's no easy games. We said that. I think I'm right in saying that Warrington have turned over Buxton tonight, yeah, which is unbelievable. Skelmersdale, who beat them 4-0, have gone down. They've lost 7-0 away somewhere as well. So the results are just unbelievable. So this is a big statement, because we were, you know, only 13 points on the board. Now that's a really important 3 points for us tonight.
Speaking to Graham McGarry before the game, and he was sort of touching a little bit on the league position. I said, I really do believe we're in a false league position. I know we had 3 poor results at home, but the performances were there. I feel like I'm banging on like a broken record, but the performances were there, and I knew we would turn a corner. But we've had that many FA Cup games. With 3-4 games adrift of other teams, I would much rather have the points on the board. But I have every faith in my players that we'll go to places and we'll get results, because no matter what happens, as you saw against Barwell, we will go to the 89th minute, we'll go to the 96th minute, the lads will go to the end. And that's what I keep banging on about at this club, in terms of they've got a group of players here who will die for that shirt, and that's what people have been asking for years. I've brought that into this team. We've got lads who will go the extra mile, and yep, our bookings have gone up more than they've ever gone up, and I've tried to address that. I do think that's to do with now and again a couple of dubious decisions and maybe a few changes in the law that obviously are being taken a little bit too far. But we're not a dirty team. We're not a mouthy team. We're a team who tries to do it the right way. But what we are is a team of winners, and that's what I want first and foremost. We play good football, but win games. That's what I want to breed into this team.
Brilliant. And finally, Stourbridge on Saturday. You know, chance of getting through to the first round of the FA Cup. We've played Stourbridge in the trophy last season.
Times.
Yeah, they're a good team, the Glass Boys. Great outfit, you know, so got some real quality. You must be looking forward, and you'll want a big turnout, because Alex and the crew are away at Notts County on Saturday as well, Phil. So what's your hopes for Saturday in terms of, you know, a big crowd and the players? They'll be up for it, won't they, of course?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll get in the boozers and rally the fans. I'm a local lad, so I'll get onto them. But I keep getting promised this carnival atmosphere. I felt it was creeping back in today. They were banging the drum. They were really getting behind the lads. And I think this place will be flooded Saturday, because FA Cup fever will grip Nantwich on the back of a fantastic result. And let's get to that first round proper, and let's go 12 unbeaten.
Excellent. Cheers, Phil. Nice one. Enjoy your night.
So thank you to Johnny Crowther there and Redshift Radio for that interview with Phil Parkinson. Nantwich Town going into this game with a bit more form on their side than was the case certainly in August, that's for sure. They're playing, though, a team called Stourbridge. Don't know if anyone's heard of Stourbridge, but they do quite well in the FA Cup in recent years. And earlier I caught up with Richard Clark. So we're now joined by the welcome return of Stourbridge's very own social media bod. It's Richard Clark. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hi, Ben. I'm fine, thanks. You all right?
I'm good, thank you. So this is a very big game this weekend.
Yeah, we have one of those every season come the fourth qualifying round time, it seems. I think it's the fifth time in 8 years, which is absolutely ridiculous when you look at our history, because we never got to the first round proper till 2009 at all, and now we don't seem to be able to stop, but there you go.
Well, I teed this up by saying, you know, you might not have heard of this club in the FA Cup, Stourbridge, little known club. you have got pedigree now. Yeah, this is the thing with making history. You have got that pedigree.
I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the odd thing is, there's no pun intended, we've never got to the first round proper in an even numbered year. So,
well,
still looking to make a little bit more history again this year somehow, Ben.
This game against Nantwich, both sides have had a little mini resurgence of late. I saw Stourbridge against Warrington the first game of the season, and Warrington were very, very dominant, and Stourbridge to me felt a bit out of sorts in a way. What have you made of Stourbridge since those opening few games of the season?
I think the manager would probably say the same. I think we're still searching for a bit of consistency, and we played well in patches in games. I haven't seen every game by any stretch, but the matches I've seen, I really can't think of a game where we've been dominant. Perhaps Barwell at home, probably the closest to that on Bank Holiday Monday. But even then, we only won 2-1. And I think we haven't had what you call an injury crisis, but we seem to have lost a lot of players for one or two games here and there through daft little injuries and knocks and illnesses, and haven't really had a settled team for that reason. And we just, like I say, I think we're really struggling for consistency. That's probably the thing at the moment. And maybe sooner or later we'll hit some good form and put a run together. Who knows?
And do you think the Cup's going to help with that kind of thing? I mean, what's the talk amongst... Because the Stourbridge fan base is superb, really. What's the talk amongst the fan base at the moment with regards to the FA Cup? Would you take a good FA Cup run again, or would you prefer to concentrate in the league and kick this side over the line this time?
I don't know. I think most people would snap your hand off for a good Cup run, because everybody loves the Cup, and... you know, we all love to get to the first round proper and play a Football League team. We even though we got to the second round last year, we played two conference teams in the rounds proper. So we'd love to get a Football League team again. But I think deep down, I think everybody wants to get promotion. But can't you have both? Be greedy and have both?
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah, you can. I've got a couple of... Salford did all right, didn't they?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can definitely. Obviously, the Sutton Coldfield result, we won't talk about that. the Hales Owen game, just a quick mention for that, because we never spoke to anyone from Stourbridge after that. Hales Owen are a team, I know you don't look at eye to eye that often, but that game, I think, showed how good non-league football is in the Black Country. It was a blood and guts performance, wasn't it, by both sides?
It was a fantastic game, and actually, from both teams' point of view, I know they will look at it and say they threw a point away, perhaps being 2-0 up so early on. And maybe in the end, perhaps we should have won it, the chances we had second half. But it was a really good game. And saying that I think Barwell was the best we played this season, probably the 80, 70 minutes or so of that game after the first 20, which were pretty abysmal, was the best we played this season consistently over pretty much a whole game. But it was a really good evening.
You did follow that up with a 2-1 win against Whitby Town, and I think that demonstrates what Stourbridge are capable of in any competition this season. Yeah. It's going to be a big game this on Saturday at... Well, Phil Parkinson called it the Dabba Dome. I don't like that, Phil. The Weaver Stadium. How many coach lords are going?
We've got one supporters coach going and a few fans on the team coach as well, but a lot of people will travel up by car. It's really not that far. It's less than a couple of hours, and we know the way because we've been there a few times over the last couple of seasons. So we'll have a good, healthy support there. I guess probably about 200 or so. You know, we'll have good support and really looking forward to it.
And one of the epiphanies that I've had this season as well, Richard, just before you go, is when I went to the Weaver Stadium early in the season, the pie and peas were absolutely delicious. So check them out while you're up there.
Might give that a try.
Richard Clark, Stourbridge's social media bod. Can I call you officer? It just sounds more formal.
If you want to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Social media officer. Richard Clark. Go on.
Can I say one more thing about Saturday's game?
Yeah, of course you can.
We've played Nantwich, I think, 7 times now since we came into the Evo Stick League. Every game has been a really good game. They're one of the teams, apart from us, they're one of the teams I really like to watch play because I think they play a good game of
they
football.
Do.
And the other thing I would say is that to anybody going, don't leave early because the last 3 games between the teams have been settled by goals in stoppage time. So it could go right down to the end.
My goodness, what a way to end this interview. Richard Clark from Stourbridge, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick.
Thank you, Ben.
Richard Clark there from Stourbridge. So, James, Nantwich Town against Stourbridge. Thoughts?
Again, this is, I said this last week, I couldn't call it, and I've been looking at the last couple of days to see what could, if I could give the edge to anyone there. Nantwich have got the form going into the game, being unbeaten in 6, but Stourbridge beat them earlier in the season. But they played each other in the FA Trophy last year, Nantwich got the better of them there. It's too tough to call this one. This is going to be, this, if it's going to be any result, it will be a draw and it's going to be a replay. It's, this could go either way. I really can't call it.
And I don't think anyone would expect you to, because seriously, whatever the result, no one's going to be surprised. I think that's the thing with regards to Nantwich Town against Stourbridge. If Nantwich win, oh. If Stourbridge win, oh. If it's a draw, oh. There's 2 other ties taking place in the 4th qualifying round. Altrincham against Matlock Town. We spoke to one of the Matlock Town managers last week, obviously. We don't want to jinx it for Matlock Town. I think they've got a cracking chance against Alte. Alte are not doing well at the moment in the league above. I've said enough. They're probably going to get beat now. James, can you seal the deal for them?
Well, Matlock are on form in the division at this moment in time. Out of the last 6, 1-4, drew 1, and scoring as well. So, Nat, again, I think if there's going to be any shocks, and Altrincham are one of the legendary FA Cup teams as well, so Matlock will want a bit of, I want to call it a giant killing, but with the position that Altrincham are in this moment in time,
definitely a giant killing. The last one is got to be a bit more trickier, but you just never know. It's Stamford against National League side Wrexham. There's going to be a big crowd heading to Stamford on Saturday. So joining me now, we're recording this on Thursday evening. It's, late afternoon. It's 5:10 on Thursday. We're joined now by Bob Feaven, the chairman at Stamford. I'm giving you the time because about 2 hours ago, the Wrexham manager, Gary Mills, it's been announced on the BBC website, has been, he's left his post at Wrexham. Do we hype this game up now? I think we should hype it up. Stamford against Wrexham in the 4th qualifying round. Bob, how are you feeling?
Well, I have to say, I'm very sad for Gary because he's been a great servant of football. We knew him, Graham Drury, our manager, knew him when he was at Grantham, and he was very kind to Harrowby United, the team Graham rang on a number of occasions. And, you know, even if you're a chairman, you always get the blame for these things. It's not the nicest job in the world, but it's always very disappointing. Now, whether it's going to work to our favour on Saturday or what, I don't know. It can go one of 2 ways. But whatever, I think we're looking forward to a massive cup tie and hope we can produce a shock.
Well, it's made mine and James's analysis of this fixture pretty redundant now, because out of all the fixtures involving NPL sides, we felt that Stamford had the toughest test, and obviously home advantage is key to this. But it is all up in the air now, this fixture. It is difficult to predict. The one thing we can say is, though, the FA Cup run Stamford have had so far has been terrific.
Yes, it has. It's shown a lot of character, actually, because they threw every game away from home. This is the first time they've been back at Borderville. And, of course, you know, it should be noted that the win against St Neots, so I know we're near the bottom of the Southern Premier now, but for all that, we beat them 4-1 in the replay from a step higher than ours, and they play some great football, and that's what's encouraging for Saturday. Given the opportunity to play, I think we will do.
And are you expecting a big crowd down for this one as well at the Zico.
Well, this is one of the great imponderables because originally, if we'd had a Wrexham team doing reasonably well, I think we could have expected well over 1,000. I'm not quite sure how many they're going to bring. It has been suggested 400. We'll just have to see. But I think we'll be plus 1,000. I'm going to be conservative there because I don't want to get caught with stupid figures. But there's a lot of interest locally, so we may have a bigger gate than I expect. Let's say 1,300.
And just looking at the club more widely, obviously Stamford's been at the Zico now for a couple of seasons. How's the club bedding in there? I mean, you've got Graham Drury in charge now. They've got this decent FA Cup run. This season, is it a case of just steadying the ship kind of thing and building on solid foundations?
Oh, no, I think we've done all the steadying. I'm hoping that this season we might go back up because... I'm not quite sure we were treated very well about this relegation when we've been told we were back in business in the NPL Premier, and then suddenly weeks later told that the FA had said they're going to be relegated. It made it very difficult for us. But the problem we have is that we haven't really played too many league games. So, you know, I hope that doesn't work against us. But when we do get back into league action, I'm hoping that the cup has motivated us to go on and do great things. One of the things that has happened under Graham is that we're no longer frightened of playing at Zico.
That's true.
We're winning home games now, whereas in the first season we didn't get a first home win until the last match of the campaign.
And we should say, I was going to mention the games in hand, you're 9 points off fifth place Romulus and you have three games in hand. So if you win all them, you're on the same number of points as the team in fifth at the moment. So I know that's all very theoretical, but still. The setup you've got there at the Zico, it's fabulous. It's a fabulous ground. There's space to develop the site as well and getting junior sides in there and stuff like that. What's the long term now for Stamford?
Well, I don't think it's beyond us to look at Conference North. The gates have grown since we've been here. Not enormously, but they're growing. And I think if we can get back in the Premier, then we'll be able to really go forward. The funds, I mean, this cup room's doing as well this season. We have a 3G, which we do a lot of work on ourselves, but which we hire out. We've got community pitches. We've got use of a really good gymnasium, etc. You know, it's all set up to do well. And I think we've, you know, Graham steadied the ship last year after a bit of a dodgy start to the campaign. And now, you know, we've got a pretty settled unit.
Well, this weekend, it's pay on the gate, isn't it, on Saturday, Bob?
Pay on the gate on Saturday, yeah.
So Saturday, 3 o'clock, there's no excuse. If you're in that Stamford area, head over to the Zico for the big one in the fourth qualifying round, Stamford against Wrexham. Whisper it quietly, but there could be an upset on the cards. But I never said that. go on, Bob, last thoughts to you.
Just one last thing, Ben.
Yeah.
When we talk about upsets, there's, I've told one or two people, it shouldn't be remembered that not very far from here, not many years ago, Hitchin knocked Leeds United out of the cup.
That's very true.
So why can't we do it to Wrexham?
It's going to happen on Saturday, folks. Bob Feetham, chairman at Stamford, thank you very much for joining us on this week's Evo Stick Extra. On behalf of all the listeners, we really
thank
hope
you
do over the National League opposition and you make it through to the first round proper. And then we'll get you back on.
Thank you very much.
Now, we've done loads during this week's show. We are going to focus on the league in a second or two, but a big good luck to all NPL sides still in the FA Cup. We all hope you get through to the next round. For those clubs playing each other from the NPL, we hope Pies are the winner. For those teams who are playing National League opposition, we hope that you make it through to the first round. The draw will be made on Monday lunchtime. And hopefully, Jim White will do a better job than he did the last round, because that was embarrassing for everyone. Anyway, Curzon Ashton, where do these sides come from? My goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a cinema, Jim. It's a cinema. Right. Anyway, let's talk about the league then, James. Buxton are in action this weekend. Buxton are currently top of the league. They did have a bit of a setback, though, didn't they, in midweek against Warrington. More on Warrington in a second. This week, on Saturday, they're travelling to Frickley Athletic. Frickley Athletic. They didn't have a good midweek. They went down 4-0 at home to Colville Town.
They beat the second-place team in the league quite soundly as well on the Saturday and then go let themselves down against Warrington. They know this position a little bit from 2 years ago. I didn't want to start speaking about it now, but eventually Buxton are going to be one of them teams that will be playing catch-up later on in the season due to the weather or...
James, we're living in a time of global warming. It's never going to snow in Buxton ever again. There's a bit of a derby going on Saturday as well. Rush Olympic, currently in second position. There's easier places to go to. Sutton Coldfield Town is where Rushall are heading on Saturday afternoon. Sutton Coldfield got a bit of a spring in the step after Monday night's 1-0 win against Stourbridge. Well, it's going to be tricky, this, for Rushall.
Yeah, Sutton Coldfield have gone through a bit of a good patch recently. I think they've now finding a bit more tempo in the game, especially now they've moved back at home. So this is their main mentality, just to try and get a bit more oomph in their season.
Rushall are leading a pack of teams now, separated by just 3 points. That goes from second place Rush Olympic down to eighth placed Ashton United. It's awfully tight, and there's some cracking big name clubs in that pack. One of them is Hensford Town. Hensford Town on Monday, 3-0 win over Corby Town. This weekend, you can keep all your FA Cup ties. You could talk about the FA Trophy. You could talk about your Northamptonshire Senior Cup or your Manchester Premier Cup or whatever. You could do all of that. Hensford Town against Blyth Spartans in the NPL Premier Division. James, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Blyth have got to bounce back in that one.
And that's going to be a very big game, that one at Keys Park. Hensford Town against Blyth Spartans. Whitby Town are currently in fourth position. Whitby Town will be hosting Marine.
Again, this is going to be something that Whitby will need more than Marine, I reckon. But Marine, again, they've just come through a bit of a bad patch. It's something just to keep them from that, slipping back down the table.
Also on Saturday, we've got Warrington Town against Workington. Warrington Town have really been stringing the results together of late. They're now in fifth position. It's looking better for Warrington Town now. Workington are still a bit sluggish. Still a bit sluggish.
Yeah.
Warrington Town are only 4 points from league leaders Buxton at the moment, so it's very early days, to be fair. Also in this pack, we mentioned them earlier, Ashton United. Ashton United are hosting Barwell this week, and Barwell slipped down a bit. But again, at the minute, just to look at the league table, but I think Barwell are looking over the shoulder just a tiny, tiny bit, as much as anyone can in October.
Yeah, indeed. So, I mean, again, leagues don't get decided in October. Around that sort of position, can get 2-3 wins and they're back up in the playoff race straight away.
Now, we covered Michelover Sports against Corby Town earlier when we spoke to John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph. It's an interesting time at Corby Town. We're recording this interview between me and James's chat on Wednesday evening. We're leaving the John Dunham interview until as late as we can on Friday, just in case the story changes. We've learnt our lesson, folks. We've learnt our lesson. The interview we do with John Dunham is the last thing we're going to do on this show, even though it's the first interview in the show. Isn't that clever, James, the way that works? It's very clever. Anyway, Grantham Town against Hales Owen Town. Both are doing all right. Both are doing all right now.
Yeah, Hales have picked that form up from what I said they needed to do. They're getting the results where it matters. Grantham are a lot better off than they were last year. And again, the strikers they've just brought in are doing the job that we expected to do.
They scored 3 goals midweek against Ashton United away from home. They beat Stafford Rangers on Saturday 2-1, despite being on the NPL show last week. There's two more fixtures that we need to talk about. Stafford Rangers against Colville. Colville have hit a bit of form of late. Stafford Rangers, that was a very impressive result midweek. When we spoke to Neil Kitchen on Tuesday night, I think he said the same thing at Grantham actually on Saturday. Just getting the good play and turning them into 3 points rather than being forever unlucky in not taking any points at all. Well, they scored 7 goals between them on Tuesday night and conceded none. So that could be a high-scoring game. Or it could be 0-0. Yep. There you go. That's what we're committing to here. And lastly, on Saturday, we've got this one here. Ilkeston against Skelmersdale United. Ilkeston are now catching up with the fixtures slowly but surely. They're now 2 points from safety. It seems to me that midweek result against Spennymoor might have been a bit of a false result, really, for Skem, because Skem, with teams around them, do all right. They do all right. And it just seems like they're just trying to find the right blend, the right formula. That's why they can beat Warrington 1 week and then get beat heavily the next game. It just seems like they're not quite there yet. That is the end of our little chat at the end of an action-packed, jam-packed Evo Stick Extra. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. How can people get in touch with the MPL Facebook group, stay in touch with the MPL Facebook group, have banter about pies and that kind of thing on the MPL Facebook group? How can people do that?
At facebook.com/groups/the MPL and on Twitter @the MPL group. And I think most, just to let you all as well, if anyone is getting a certain PC game in a few weeks, keep your eye out for a certain number of regenerated players. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, Championship Manager 102. have they done a new one? Yes. James, Championship Manager, Football Manager hasn't been good since that release of Championship Manager 102. It's too complicated now, mate. There's too much going on. We don't really want to manage a football club. We want to cut corners. We can't all be, you know, Phil Parkinson or Gary Hackett. You know, we want to be able to just fantasise a bit about how we could be Gary Hackett or Jason Ainsley. You know, we don't really want to put the effort in like they do, for goodness sake. Anyway, some mind games. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you very much for joining us on this week's Evo Stick Extra.
No problem, Ben.
Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. A big good luck to all our sides in FA Cup action this weekend. We hope you all win. We'll be back next week with a brand new Evo Stick Extra, where hopefully we'll have four sides through to the first round proper of this season's FA Cup. Remember, in the meantime, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's @NPLshow, and you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet, that's facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me this week. A big thank you to Johnny Crowe at Redshift Radio. A big, big thank you to Stafford Rangers for hosting the first part of this show. And a big thank you to Spennymoor Town FC on YouTube as well for allowing us access to that Jason Ainsley interview. And a big thank you to you, dear listener, for joining me. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.